morning.
Ooh, whoa. I think so.
Good.
Yes, I think we're on. So.
Oh, I really am.
Yeah, I'll back up here a little bit. How's that? Good? Yes. Well, good morning, commissioners. This is a work session to sort of catch you up on what we've been doing with the surface mining overlay, that project. As you know, it's been going on for a while. We have lots of things we can cover, depending on your questions, but we had a work session with you on the 27th of August of this year, and you asked us to go off and talk to the various stakeholders and to try to come up with some commonality in terms of how far we could get in terms of the minerals resource lands policies for the comprehensive plan and for the new set of development regulations. And so we're here to talk about that this morning. We've met both with the Friends of Livingston Mountain. We've had two meetings with them, and we've had a meeting with industry folks that the prosecuting attorney's office set up, and we've got a draft of some material that's on the grid that we think is about as close as we can get, which is what you asked us to do. And the action before you will be to adopt not only an ordinance that covers the changes to the policies and changes to the development regulations, but you've only agreed in principle as to what the surface mining, where the surface mining overlay should be applied. So the information that's on the grid starts with attachment A, which is here, which is the map that you agreed to back in, I believe it was in June. So three parts to this. You have a where the surface mining overlay is going to apply, what the comprehensive plan policy should be, and then the development regulations and standards. In terms of other parts of the process, we had a work session with the Planning Commission on Thursday, and we go to hearing with them next Thursday, a week from tomorrow, to take those parts of the development regulations back that they haven't seen. Part of their recommendation back in December was for staff to develop a section on monitoring and enforcement and include that. We have done that. Rather than just bring that straight to you, we made the decision as staff to take that back to the Planning Commission so they could see what the language is. And so this is November is turning out to be Schmo month because we've got a Planning Commission work session followed by a board work session followed by a Planning Commission hearing followed by a board hearing, and all that's happened. So one of those is behind us. This is the second step in that process. But what you're looking at in terms of the full gamut is all those mineral lands policies and all the development regulations. We're just taking a subsection of those back to the Planning Commission. So that's pretty much all I have to say. I'm here to answer any questions or get additional guidance. Again, Planning Commission hearing is scheduled for November 20th, and a board hearing with you, well, you are the board, a hearing before the board on November 25th. So that's pretty much what we've been working on, and we've got a draft again here. It's dated October 21st. It's on the grid. We've gotten some comment letters, which are also on the grid. Those will be in your packet for the hearing. We'll probably receive some additional correspondence, and we'll get that to you as well.
So, Gordy, when can we get a copy of the draft?
You have a copy. The draft is on the grid, and we'll be preparing a notebook for you for your hearing that will have all this background information in it, a staff report, the map, all the information that's on the grid, all the correspondence that we've received to date, and we'll get you all the additional correspondence or emails, whatever, that we get before the hearing.
Okay, I'll back up and try to cover some of the stuff then. It's my understanding as we move forward with extensions or new mining overlays, the monitoring and new regulations and enforcement will take place.
That's correct. What we're proposing here is prospective. Yeah. That is, it will apply to new mining activity.
So what did you come up with? Who's going to be in charge of monitoring, or will it be divided up in parts?
Take a shot at that.
I think initially the monitoring and enforcement will reside in community development, and where we need to pull expert resources with other departments, whether it's environmental or public works, We'll do so. We also would need to connect with any state agencies that may have some interplay with any of the mines, especially relative to blasting and any kind of water well issues. So that's kind of where we're going to be starting from.
So when we start off on that, who's going to be the enforcing agent?
It's likely to fall in code enforcement and community development. If it's something that's related to a specific issue, for example, loads on the county roadway or state highway, we'll be contacting Mr. Naramore or the Washington State Patrol. That would be an example of something unique to another agency. But we'll be taking a crack at it first.
Yeah, I was bringing that up because that was one of the things that we had confusion about before. Who's supposed to be monitoring? Who's supposed to be enforcing? I would think it would probably be the same department.
Yeah, Commissioner, if you... At the end of the day, the responsibility for the conditional use permit lies with code enforcement, which is a division under, you know, Marty's authority. The issue is, you know, if we kind of use Yakult as an example a lot, but there's 107 conditions in that conditional use permit, and many of those conditions relate to traffic or things that ecology would be responsible for, or maybe something to do with dust that might be under the permit under clean air. And so while Marty is responsible for the enforcement of the conditional use permit, and that's where the permit kind of lies, many of those conditions require oversight by other agencies, so coordination and communication with them on the enforcement side. So it's a little bit difficult. And if you look at what we've done with the monitoring section, of course, moving forward, existing mines or quarries will continue to operate under their conditional use permit. We can't go back and change that on them retrospectively. But moving forward, the way it would work is it puts more responsibility on the quarry operator and owner to, one, articulate what those conditions are, what standards will apply, and what methodology they'll use to ensure in annual intervals to the county that those conditions are being met. So instead of us getting a phone call from someone who's upset because a single or a couple of conditions aren't being met, we'll still do that if they call, check into it. But now we're putting more of a burden, I guess, on the operator to tell us how they're going to follow through with those conditions and then report actually how they're doing. The other side of that coin is some say, you know, the skeptical view of that is, well, you're just asking sort of the operator to, you know, tell you a bunch of fluff about how they're doing on all the conditions. And to some degree that may be true, but at least they're articulated. You know, the operator can't say something like, oh, sorry, we didn't know that that condition existed, or that, you know, exhibit existed in a letter with ecology somewhere where we were supposed to do this. What it does is it up front makes sure that everybody's on the same page with what the conditions are and what the requirements are, and that there's a regular check-in that it's being done or not being done.
And actually, I think... That's where we got in trouble before, because nobody was overseeing the stuff before. And in doing so, all this stuff kind of slipped by the wayside until we had the complaints, and then it was like being behind the ball trying to catch up.
Well, the policy of the county and probably most counties in the longstanding has been that code enforcement is complaint-driven. And so we don't drive around the county looking for issues. If there is an issue, we take care of it. That may not be the best policy for large conditional use permits where some of the conditions are prospective and need to be checked in on regularly, or there's something that's supposed to happen either in regular intervals or in the future. Someone needs to look in on that. And so it's about where that burden should lie. Should it lie with the county staff to keep track of all of those 107 things and go up there and make sure? Or should there be some burden on the operator to say, here's what we're required to do, here's how we think we're performing. What do the citizens and what do you think, county? And then we can evaluate that based on what they've given us and told us. But at least it sets the table that everybody knows what the rules are out of the gate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question.
What happens if the operator fails to comply with what he's agreed to do? What is the consequences of that? And the other thing, Axel, and when we met the last time, there was about four issues that you guys were trying to work out between the citizens and the operator. I don't know, everybody is happy now with what you guys have come up with so far. And that, is that all going to be printed on the document that you're going to put on the screen so that we know just exactly where the citizens lie on this thing? Because I don't want to see them left out, just like I don't want to see the operator left out.
So,
but if there's violations, then we need to make sure that the operator understands that there is consequences for those violations. He's not just going to say, well, like Axel mentioned earlier, well, we didn't know. Even if they did know, I mean, what's the consequences to that operator?
Commissioner, let me give you a couple bookends, and then I'll go to the middle. The worst thing that could happen is absolutely blowing conditions and not even paying attention to the county's, you know, warnings. There is something in the code that would allow us to revoke a conditional use permit. That actually would go to a hearing. We'd have to present evidence that they're not following through, they're not complying with the conditions of approval or the county code. That would be the worst case. On the other end is just a constant, you know, we'll get to you, we'll get to you, we'll get to you. I think what we have to do is when we have folks lodging complaints and we verify that those things are happening, that we need to make sure that the operator is aware that whatever condition that they have to meet, they're not meeting it, and that they need to do so. Like any other development in the county, if there's a course of action that we can take where we could issue citations, and they get progressively more expensive, from say $250 to $500 to $1,000 per violation per day. So that's kind of where we would take any code enforcement proceeding, whether it's a mine, a subdivision, or some other type of development proposal.
Is there a timeline, Marty, then, that 30 days, 45 days, 60 days or something, so that the operator knows that and the people know out there that there's a certain period of time that it's going to be answerable to somebody and not just...
Right.
Just stretch it out forever.
I think, my sense of it is there's, depending on how severe the issue is, whether it's if it's an immediate public safety issue, it's got to be attended to within, 24 hours or even within the day. If it's something that may not warrant an imminent public safety issue, it's typical for us to give people, a business week, 10 days, 14 days, something like that. So it would be dependent on the issue that we're dealing with.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that policy, that enforcement process is already in place. That's not new, right?
You're That's
not
correct.
Proposing anything different.
That's correct.
And so the fact that we haven't issued any citations or any fines up to this point means that there's been no violation that's risen to that threshold, right?
Not to my understanding. That's correct.
So we want to make sure that the citizens know that there is a process, and that process is if they identify what in their eyes is a violation, that they would report it to the county, and the county would follow through on that. We have an obligation to follow through on it.
That's correct. And one thing, back to the, who enforces this is, I would look at my existing staff resources, and whether it's somebody in code enforcement or one of the planners who actually reviews these proposals, as they're going through the process, and it would be looking at dedicating a portion of their time, whether it's, a quarter of their FTE status or, 30%, 50%, and have them be more more proactive, and especially with any new operation or mine or quarry where the owner operator has the conditions They have documents that they understand the conditions, and here is how they're going to monitor and measure. And it's more of a proactive relationship that our staff would build with a new owner-operator. The things we have to deal with today and some of the existing operations are, we are, as Axel said, we are complaint-driven, and so we have to kind of drop what we're doing and attend to it as best we can.
It sounds like if that process is already in place, really it seems like it hasn't worked so well up to this point. Perhaps it's not formal enough, because the for instance, if you in a speed zone exceed the limit, you get pulled over, you get a piece of paper, you get a citation. Is there kind of a form, something that gets filled out, and that is triggers some kind of a ticket that says we need to check this out? And right now, or is it just simply verbal?
I think the complaints will come in either through phone messages or phone calls or emails, and I don't know if we have a form per se. I'm sure we do on other types of code enforcement activities. We don't have a lot of mines in Clark County, so they're not as frequently occurring. So, but we do the same. We would follow the same process as any other complaint comes in on a kennel or a winery or a subdivision.
What I don't want to do is to kind of change the overall policy for everything. Certainly, the surface mining overlay with the 100 plus conditions that Axel, you were talking about, there needs to be something unique about them because of the extra scope involved. That particular area sounds like there needs to be, at least staff ought to consider, more of a formal process than what we have now, just simply a verbal complaint.
And I think when we go through, if you look up at the top of the screen there, all the new language is trying to formalize a better process for monitoring, which will lead to better enforcement. So if you were to go through those, you'll kind of see a more formalized approach to those conditions because there's so many, and especially the ones that are prospective. So, you know, thou shalt monitor the groundwater for the first 3 years and give the neighborhood and the county quarterly reports. So, well, this formalizes how those reports are supposed to get here.
Yes, sir.
And who's, you know, okay. Who's responsible.
So I assume that these are, each one of these are numbered. These are conditions. They used to have a serial number, right?
What we've done, commissioners, we're attempting to set a different starting gate, because we know each situation is going to be different. But as Axel said, we're trying to set a process in a place through code and policy that says we can get to conditions. The 107 conditions that Axel talked about come from a conditional use permit that's issued when there's actually an application.
Right.
But
it's
what
unique.
We're trying to do here is put a process in place that allows us some stronger language in terms of setting where that starting gate is.
Sure.
That's all we're attempting to do here,
so
is get us there.
Right, I understand that.
Yeah.
The conditions that are unique to each site, I assume that all of those are numbered, and perhaps the more formal process would be that you would come up with something that would be specifically for surface mining overlay or mining operations, that form or whatever that written document would be would identify condition number 67 is not being followed. You say, what's the condition? What's not being followed? Give me the specifics. And that would allow the focus on it to actually specifically address that the condition that's being challenged.
Right. And I think both Axel and Gordy are correct. This section F formalizes a process moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And your example is, I can see that the operating program or the monitoring program would be maybe whether it's a single checklist or a checklist based on different topics of the conditions. That's how we would follow it. So on noise or blasting, there would be a checklist of things that they are complying with X, Y, and Z. So we can check against that particular topic of a conditional use permit. If it's traffic, if it's hauls, things like that. So that you're right in terms of, you know, checking that condition number 67, which is related to noise. And there might be a half a dozen related to noise.
Yeah. Just to help us to focus and be specific.
Exactly.
General things are hard to enforce.
So the way it works kind of right now is you go through the hearings examiner process, you work out all the compromised conditions, what needs to take place, and then, you know, you as the county operator get your binder of 107 conditions, and the county gets ours. We each have our binder of conditions, but that's kind of the end of it. You either wait for someone in the county to realize there's an issue, the operator to admit there's an issue, or a citizen to complain and say, I think there's an issue. The way we're proposing it is one more step, which would be, it's not good enough for us to have the conditions in a binder and you to have the conditions. You got to show us a plan that shows that you know what the conditions are and you have a strategy for proving out each year that they're being met. And then we can review that and say, yes or no, we think that's happening, given what we're hearing from folks.
What I liken it to is it's a much better and more articulated roadmap of how are they going to operate with these conditions.
Great. So it brings a structure to it. If I understand correctly, the process that's been followed so far, the staff has really been, you guys have been out working to bring the parties together to collaborate, and this proposed ordinance, the way it is coming forward as a result of that.
That's correct. There are still some outstanding issues, and there are things that when you look at this, we've put some notes in here as to what those are. I've been in touch with DNR, and they're still sort of scratching their head about the map, so we're likely to hear from them at some point. That's not anything to do with what we're looking at here, but yes.
And I assume that on most of the points, most of the specifics in the ordinance, that there's agreement with all parties. Yeah, but there are some areas where one party wants this, one party wants that.
I think we've narrowed it down to just perhaps a couple of things, at least that we're aware of at this point.
What are those couple of things?
One of them is, can you go up to the
Well, you're saying that out of 100 or so, you've only got a couple there where there's some disagreement, right?
So what we did, commissioners, we received a letter from Stordahl.
Can we make that larger so the rest of us can read that, since we don't have a copy?
I don't know. Yeah, was that four-page
letter?
Down
at the bottom, see that plus sign? Click there.
Yeah.
Keep going.
There
we go.
Yeah.
All right.
So up a little more.
I guess what I'm envisioning is that we're going to be a little bit more proactive, and that means with the existing quarries that we go out and we have an understanding as to what they are to do, and maybe they have a book for each different quarry, because different conditions might exist. So we have those that are in existence that we want to make sure that they understand what we expect, and then all the new ones. Yeah.
So you're going to show us something specific
yes.
here?
For example, on D, surface mining overlay shall not be designated on partial zoned rural or with rural residential, within rural residential zones. It's the partial zone rural is more correct, except to allow expansion of an existing mining site. I think Friends of Livingston Mountain still has an issue with that. They would like to see
no expansion
onto parcels that are zoned rural.
Would it be possible to do this so that we want to make sure that not only the Planning Commission has the ability to focus in on those differences, but also if they don't resolve it, they bring it back when we get to the hearing, that we'll have two D's. We'll have D1 and D2, and one party's arguing for this version, the other one's arguing for that version, so that both versions translate to specific text here so that option A, option B can be evaluated.
We will attempt to do that in a staff report for you before we come back to you. That's the goal. Again, we took a bunch of issues,
yeah,
which was on August 27th. We've narrowed them down to just a couple. There are a couple of other things in here.
Yeah, and I appreciate the staff report, and that sounds like it would be information. But you also have here specific language in the proposed code that you could have two alternates. So one party wants this, one party wants that, so that we can actually see the specific translation, how it would potentially play out here. Both versions would have to pass muster when it comes to adoptable code. They'd have to be legal, but we want to make sure that they're specifically evaluated.
Right. Gulliver, can you scroll down just a little?
No, I think...
Keep going.
No, we go back and refer to Livingston Mountain.
Too far.
I think that under Livingston Mountain, we've addressed that issue because there's no expansion of that mining. Is that correct?
I'd have to go back and look at the map and see what's proposed.
Okay, yeah, I remember that it's correct. So that's not an issue there. So it would be that they adhere to existing conditions that they operate under.
Mr. Chairman, I also think that the fact that when we started through this thing, when I first come on board, since I've been here, I think the staff has tried to be like a moderator between the mining interest and the community out there, and I got to commend staff for what they've done, even though there's some folks may not be happy. But I think the last meeting that they agreed that everything that they agreed to, there was a line, and then these items that were above it, that's the ones that you guys were going to try to work on that you have up here now that you've tried to
correct up. Commissioner, if you look at the screen here, right underneath where we've struck that out because we moved it up, you see where it says move to 352D. Friends of Livingston Mountain still have an issue with the way this is worded. So we've put the...
Okay, that's a step in the right direction, but it would be better to say Friends of Livingston Mountain want it worded this way. Let them include the specific alternate wording that they were asked for.
Okay, I think that's what they're intending to do at your hearing, is to tell you what they'd like to see.
Why would we wait for that? I mean, they already should know what they're proposing. We want to make sure they have equal access to this so that they have... there's two specific wordings. I just want to get to specifics, because we say, here's the specific proposed by staff, and they want something else. Well, they want their own specific wording. Make sure they also are heard with their specific alternative.
Yeah, it's important that we know what that is, and we have a spokesman and an agreement amongst them as to what they want. Now, whether or not we can provide that, I'm not sure. But if it's what you said it was, then we have addressed that, because we have not allowed the expansion of anything on Livingston Mountain.
Otherwise, it may give an unfair advantage to the proposed language, because that's specific, and that means you have to go back and do some more work to find out what's the alternative. Well, let's do that up front.
And to the extent we can, we feel we have. But if you want more information, we'll try to get it between.
That there, go back.
Oops, he just moved it.
Does not.
Scroll it.
This says that they're not in agreement with our verbiage.
Right. I can tell you what they don't want to see expansions on any rural residential.
Well, then you would word that with what would actually be adoptable code that would pass legal muster, that would at least be an option that they're asking for, very specific.
So, this is one of our policies. So sure.
It appears to me we've addressed that. Go back to what I think it's underneath there, isn't it?
It's right there, 3.5.7.
Yeah, see 3.5.17 that struck out, line 56. What we did is we struck out there because we moved it up.
Okay.
It's the same language. We just moved it up and put it in a different place.
So that's what they were in a disagreement with what it was before. And that appears to me we
they don't want
it there.
They would put the period after the word zones.
What I would encourage also is that... Livingston Mountain residents, they're organized, they're intelligent, they're capable to take their leadership, redline this, submit the way they actually want it to read, and then we would accommodate that, and that would go to the Planning Commission also. You would help them to understand what could be legally added, or should I say adopted.
And for example, Commissioner, on this one, we'll put an example in there. But I mean, Gordy just nailed it. Basically, this just came down to a question between the Friends of Livingston Mountain and the quarry operators and the staff having to decide where to go. And the question is simple. It is, in rural areas or rural zones, should the code ever allow for the expansion of an existing mine or not? The folks at Livingston Mountain want the language to say no. Mines will never be allowed to expand in rural zones. The staff sided on the idea that if there is an existing mine, it could be contemplated that expansion may make sense at some point.
Address
and
that.
So we left it available, and that was where the disagreement was.
Where the mining is being done, that itself is not zoned rural zoning. So when you talk about...
It could be.
Yeah. I mean, rural,
well, it could be. Surface mining overlay is applied to any area. And it could be forest, could be ag, could be rural. Remember, the surface mining overlay is an overlay that allows mining. Okay. The underlying zoning doesn't change from what's on the comprehensive plan map.
What is the zoning of the Livingston?
I think it's rural residential.
Now?
Is it?
I think it's R5.
It's what?
It's R5.
It would be useful for us to be able to know for each of the mines in Clark County what is the zoning for them, the underlying zoning. We understand it's rural residential for Livingston, but in order for us to make informed policy, we would need to know what are the others.
I guess my concern is if that area where the mining is taking place, if, for example, that was forestry or ag, and it's right next to a R5, under our definition, we could build there, or we could expand that. So when you say overlay, I guess, what are we overlaying? Are we overlaying an R5, R10, R20?
Well, remember, step back. The overlay is what you're going to adopt on the map that's based on where the resource is.
Right.
So we start with that, the premise that there's something there that you'd want to mine in the future, and so you're deciding to put the overlay on it. It doesn't change the underlying zoning. The overlay just allows mining as an additional use on that property.
Right, and so that's my point. If we change it from what you have there, it would pretty much prohibit any mining in Clark County.
If we adopt this language, you could not... The way it's
expand.
You could, if we adopted it the way the Friends of Livingston Mountain wanted, you could never expand onto property zoned R.
Yeah.
This allows you to expand on property zoned R. That's a policy call, as Oliver said, for the board. That's the difference. We can't make that decision. You have to make that decision.
And it goes fairly far as it's written, because as it's written, it says that surface mining overlay shall not be designated within rural residential. So there will never be a new designation within a rural residential zone.
Except to expand, which is what the...
Except to expand.
Which is what the... Concurrent language
is. It stops anything new from happening in those zones. It just allows for the opportunity someday there may be a need or a want to expand an existing quarry. So,
but currently, whatever, if I heard Axel right, currently whatever the property that is up there at Livingston Mountain or up at Yakult Mountain is, whatever property that they currently have, they could continue to mine, expand on that property, as long as there was anything left there. But if they decide to go outside that, then whatever the new rules that you put in place would have to apply then.
If a mine wants to expand now, we'd have to apply the surface mining overlay to that expansion.
Right.
If that expansion was in rural, under this policy, we would allow it. Under what Friends of Livingston Mountain wants, we would not allow it.
Under the current contract at Livingston Mountain or up at Yakult, whatever property that they currently have designated for that gravel pit, they could keep mining in that until there was nothing left. After that, they would have to apply for outside.
Well, there would, and Gordy, you can correct me if I'm wrong on the process, but even under the language that would allow expansion, there's still an added process that would have to happen. If they want to expand outside of what's under the surface mining overlay designation already, that's a comprehensive plan amendment. If it's already overlaid, then there's probably a hearing that would need to take place change their conditions.
So we're talking about two things. One is it's just expanding mining operations in an area that already has the overlay,
right.
And the other is an expanding a mine into areas that does not have the surface mining overlay. Yeah. Correct.
Both of those would come with an open public process, though.
I'd like to talk about the expansion, because right now this says yes or no. It kind of predetermines the outcome of any hearing. I mean, you don't go to hearing if it says no. It just obsoletes it. But I wonder if the expansion ought to be handled more explicitly in this. For instance, we understand that if this allowed for it, that there would be a public process, a public hearing, a hearing examiner, and to be able to have conditions that would be met in order for that expansion to be approved. But this does not in any way specify what those extra conditions would be for expansion. So that is a tool we're not using. Because on one side, if we say there's a fear that it just might be inappropriate in this particular area, and so we end up blanketing the whole county with prohibitions elsewhere where that objection does not occur, so we overreact. In the other case, we don't address it at all by adding extra conditions about the concerns in case something expands. So I think we really ought to make sure that if we don't outright ban the expansion of an existing mine in a rural residential area, that we ought to make sure that at least there are extra conditions that need to be met to address that unique situation.
Yeah, and we could maybe put some of those process steps more explicitly in the code. What that would require, Commissioner, any expansion of the designation of the surface mining overlay would require a comprehensive plan map amendment, which would, I mean, we only do those once a year, correct, Marty? So,
right.
So it's a pretty significant process, but we could articulate that in there.
I understand the significance of the process, but the significance of the... Or should I say the looming danger that the residents that live there understand that this could happen in the long run? I expect a lot of these neighbors are there for a long time,
yeah.
Maybe for life. And they don't want that threat hanging over them without that being defined.
Oliver, can we go up to... We did. You were there at one point, and it's right up after the policies. Yes, it's in here.
Right.
Keep going. Keep going.
One more.
Keep going. Keep going. Stop right there. Stop. Commissioner, one of the other things we're proposing to amend is the additional criteria for surface mining overlay changes. Just exactly, I think this will answer your question. Here's what we're proposing. It says designation of additional areas within the surface mining overlay shall occur if the designation criteria in the comprehensive plan have been met. And then if we're going to allow, because we're proposing to allow expansion now, this is an additional criteria. At least 60% of the area within 1,000 feet of the proposed mineral resource land is characterized by parcels of 5 acres or larger. So this is your additional criteria, as you were just requesting. And then the next section here is removal of surface mining overlay. So we've got, these are in a different section of our code, and these explicitly have to be followed in terms of what actually the process is.
Okay, good. And I'm glad to see that, because I was wondering about the 1,000 feet buffer and
yes.
Those kind of things. So I understand that Livingston Mountain residents are tuned into this process.
Oh, yes.
And they understand what the code reads, the proposed code is as we present it. And I extend the invitation to them to redline it. If there be something that you feel like there is a better fit that would protect the properties and yet don't just simply unintended consequence elsewhere in the county where that objection does not occur, we want to make sure we get that right. Make it specific enough so that it addresses that concern and it leaves the flexibility elsewhere if it's appropriate.
I think the three of us are 100% certain that they're prepared to submit something that is different from what this recommendation, how this recommendation reads. They'll be submitting that to the Planning Commission hearing in a week and a half, and they'll be submitting it to the board on the
25th. Yes, although why would we hold them off and to submit something cold to the Planning Commission then? This is the time for us to welcome their input now and say, this will go to the Planning Commission, so they end up, we're going to bat for their party as well.
Well, and just to elaborate a little bit on that too, and to be fair to the other side, there's a couple of significant changes in here that are adverse to what probably the mining interest would consider their position. For instance, originally when this came, I think from the Planning Commission, if certain things were met, mining was permitted outright within the surface mining overlay. That's changed now to become a conditional use permit, which is a much more difficult process to get through. And staff agreed that it should be a conditional use permit because there's so many unforeseeable issues at each particular site. Some sites will have no problems with traffic because the roads are great. Some sites will have many. Some sites will have no trouble with noise because no one lives around, whereas some will have. So each one's kind of so unique that the conditional use process really needs to be part of it, in the staff's opinion. But that was a significant shift away from something being an outright permitted use. Obviously, I think the mining interest would want it to continue to be an outright permitted use, but we didn't feel comfortable with that. So there's going to be a couple of these prickly ones on either side. The board will have to make the call, and we'll do our best to articulate the sides. But I think, Gordy's approach has been meet, get as close as we can, and move forward. Because if we end up back at the drawing board where we take red lines from each side, we'll just kind of, I think from the staff perspective, we keep getting knocked back down to the beginning and kind of this language that's on either side. And so we're kind of trying to keep it moving and take each side's comments into consideration, and I think we're doing our best, but inevitably we're going to end up with some disagreements.
And one other thing real quickly is when we've sent something out there, we're hoping for a response from that. So if we take something, if we took something a couple weeks ago and we had changed something and put it on the grid, we want it to be fresh from the current proposal to the Planning Commission and the board and on the grid. So there might be a slight difference between what we've seen a few weeks ago or a month ago from sure. what we see today.
And I know it's been a hard process. It's been a lot of work, and I really appreciate all of that. You've taken so much heat. The process has worked very well so far, but at this point I want to make sure that we don't, that we can make it, it sounds like there's an opportunity to make it a little bit better. And that is, instead of that one comment that we saw, they don't like this. They suggest alternate wording. One way we specifically can make it better is to replace that comment with, here's the alternate wording that they propose. Now, because we have an unfair advantage over the residences, and that is that here we have specific language and proposal. It's, and when that's laid out there and that goes to the Planning Commission, you're going to bat and you're hoping you're going to score a run. But I want to make sure that if there be a viable alternative that's being proposed to that language as it is, that the Planning Commission gets to see that up front so that they get to go to bat too.
Fair enough. What you're seeing, Commissioner, and which you haven't seen yet, these are the Planning Commission recommendations. This document that we started with was adopted by the Planning Commission on December 5th, 2013. What we've attempted to do at your direction is to make it better.
Yes.
And we have, as you said, worked hard. I mean, Marty and Chan and
yes.
Chris Horn and Axel, Chris Cook, we've sat down with Friends of Livingston Mountain and the industry and said, let's massage the language. Mm-hmm. We're at a point now where you need to hear what they like, which we think is most of what we're presenting to you, and a couple of places that they don't like. And that's
sure.
we're at that
sure.
point.
And I appreciate all that. I know it's been a lot invested, and it's gone iterative to the point where we are now. I'm just, and I think we're already there, where instead of something general like they don't like this wording, that we would go one step further, put the cherry on top, and allow them to suggest the alternate wording in place of that little comment.
So, you want to chime in on that one, if I may?
Or yeah. Before it goes to the Planning Commission.
Yeah.
Sure. We can definitely submit proposed language and have that itemized. Since they've had this, they have updated again, and we've made additional comments that you can see, and it's in about five different areas on specifics that they have changes, specifically on the goals. This particular item that we're talking about right here, with the expansion of rural residential zones, it should be noted that in the last comp plan, that's the existing language. And the county hasn't run out of rock. There is no danger of it running out of rock. The time horizon of the comp plan is 20 years. And as we've gone through this process up at Livingston Mountain, they've already said they've already had over 20 years of rock.
Yep.
And everybody that has moved up there, that mine has been dormant for over 30 years. We moved up. There was no sign that this was ever going to reopen. Now, the new proposed language would let this mine creep.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention other parts of the county. Lots of other people around Tebow Pit, these other pits that are now coming towards the end of their existence, 192nd. Now you're saying that even though it's rural residential, there might be a dwelling on it, there's resource under it.
Mm-hmm.
The county has never considered this before. There's never been a shortage of rock. We're shipping over half our rock over to Portland and to other counties. And there is really no reason to have this, and we need to have some sort of certainty for our citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have a mine open next to you, your land instantly gets devalued. This is the number one biggest investment of any family. If a mine moves next to you and you put 20% down on a house, your land might be worth 20% less. You might be bankrupting citizens by allowing this to happen. But to address the other issues, we're more than happy to come up with specific language for you.
Yeah, great. All right, thank you.
All right. Any other comment?
Well, the only thing I would say that I appreciate everything that the citizens that I've been meeting with and also the mine operators think that they have basically tried to see middle ground, and I hate to see staff spending a lot of time running backwards and forwards up to these different locations because of the various different complaints and that. And if everything is pretty well lined out and the citizens are in agreement and you put something together like David suggested of a checklist that says that that if somebody has a complaint, that they sign off on that and send it in and look at it from there. But just to blanket everything that people just keep calling and coming to public hearings and that, which they have the right to do as citizens, just like the mine operators would have that right. But I think overall, I think that Gordy and his staff, Marty and Axel and them, have been over backwards to work with both parties. And you have to have gravel. You have to have stuff to build with, and it's just a matter of how you go about doing it and not destroy livability of everybody in the county in the process. And let's get the Slatchie Prairie train going. Let's go up there and get the gravel up at the Slatchie Prairie and open up some new mines where they don't have to worry about the housing and the rest of it. They could do that.
Keep in mind also that we are bound to follow the state law, and they have constraints on there. Some of that is subjective. Whatever language gets submitted, keep in mind it needs to fulfill that. We will end up with a legal challenge and end up striking that out. So avoid extremes. See what you can do to really get something that you think can really be adopted.
Yes, and we've been working with our legal counsel to be advised with that. And as much as possible, we've been trying to circle back to what existing code that we already have in place, just so it ties everything together easier for the county and everything is more enforceable.
Very good. And keep in mind also that Livingston Mountain, whatever you put in language here, this language applies to all mines,
yes,
through all areas throughout Clark County.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever it is, if you're proposing some kind of language, make sure that that's not so broad that somehow it has some kind of a inhibiting effect in another area where it shouldn't.
Sure. One other thing that the board has the opportunity to put to rest right now is you've made recommendations on the map, but the staff has made it clear that there is a slight possibility that the map could come back up at this hearing at your discretion. And we want to make sure that that's not going to happen.
That's, as far as I know, that's been adopted and that's not on the table.
Well, it hasn't been adopted, Commissioner, but we're going to notice the hearing so that it talks about policies and regulations, not the map.
Be consistency between the two.
Right. Well, you haven't adopted anything yet.
Okay. Well, we'll get through a formal process that gave our consent. That looks good.
There'll be an adopting ordinance that says the board agrees to this map, these policies, and these code changes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've come a long way.
Yes.
We have.
We really have. And I want to thank staff one more time. That's all we have today. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Thanks. Didn't put you on the spot.
No.
Is this the latest from, is this David Mansler?
Yeah, no, we...